Liu was last. Sorry.
Hello, welcome.
Hello, thanks. I have started to work yesterday, so I'm freshly back.
Brand new. That's great. Well, I appreciate you guys hanging around on Friday afternoon to talk with us.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I thought it would be good to join, so you know him. And but Leo started yesterday, but he's not new. I think, in the mail. Last year, he worked 6 months on the crop pathology, but not looking threats, more looking at the methods for measuring threats with farmers. He knows about the ontology.
Great. And Barry is on the call with us.
You can see him also.
Wait, say hello, Barry. Say hello.
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 Hi, Barry.
Hi. Hello. I'm assuming you can hear me.
Ah, yes. Now we can see you too.
Yeah, I'm going to delete my video in a minute because the signal is not completely clear here.
Yeah.
But I can hear and see you all well enough.
Yeah, if we have problems, the video does take a lot more bandwidth for sure.
Yeah.
I hear you're having a little winter out there, Barry.
Well, we're now reaching peak stalactite.
Winter storm Thor, I hear it's called.
Well, it's starting to get warmer now, so gradually all the stalactites will melt away.
Down in the eastern part of the U.S., they've had amazing amounts of snow, and we're just having the driest, warmest winter here. So we're not complaining, although we may have a drought this summer. So, yeah. So Pankaj is going to join in, but he's not going to be here until about 8:15 or so. Mm-hmm. And then he'll probably just kind of listen from his office. And I don't know if any of the other ontology people are joining. I'm not sure if George or Chris are joining, but I think we could go ahead and get started. We talked a little bit on yesterday's call. Let me just open the agenda. So some of the things we kind of touched base about yesterday that are going on. So we don't really need to go over that again. Anything else from your end, Elizabeth?
No, just I think that Leo, I will introduce you to Leo afterwards.
Yeah.
I already told him more or less who you are.
Yeah. You want us each to kind of introduce ourselves or?
Perhaps briefly to Leo.
So, yeah. Okay. So Leo, I'm Laurel and I'm the project coordinator and curator and a bioinformatics scientist here in Oregon State University. And I was on the plant ontology project before we got the Plantium grant. Not sure what that is. Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry. So, my background is plant molecular biology, and now I'm doing more bioinformatics type work and do a lot of ontology curation. So we have the plant ontology, the trait ontology, and the plant environment ontology. And we're going to be developing a new project called the plant stress ontology. And these are all designed to be kind of species neutral. So we call them the reference ontologies. And so, Leo, welcome to the team. And maybe after the call, I can get Leo's access to the wiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't try yet.
Right. He just started yesterday. Yeah, that's fine. So, and on your email this morning, Elizabeth, did you copy him? So I have his email.
The mail with the announcement of Leo joining the team on the second one. In fact, I forgot, you should have twice my mail, and the second is the best because the mail of Leo is. But anyway, it's embedded into the mail. You have his Skype.
Oh, Skype. Right. I got it. Yeah.
All right, Lonnie.
Yeah, I only got one email from you this morning, Elizabeth, but that's fine. Oh, maybe, no, I only got one. It's fine, but Leo's email is there. So Leo, we have a computer systems admin named Justin, and Justin will set up access for you so you can get onto our wiki. We have a wiki, but right now it's closed to the public so that we can put our notes there and do some planning there and so on. And that's where the that's what I'm going to show you guys. Let me just share my screen here.
Yeah, because I think also Rosemary would need some background information, isn't it?
Right. Yes, and Rosemary does have access already.
Yeah, yeah. She has.
So, but I think it would be useful for Leo to.
As well.
Yeah. And Leo, what's your role going to be on the project?
Okay. So I'm more on the integrated breeding platform side of the crop ontology, which means that I'm hired by them basically to improve the content of the crop ontology, the crop the trait dictionaries. So a lot of it will be curation, defining, redefining the guidelines, the best practices, maybe improving the templates, and maintaining the website. My background is I'm an agronomist, and I trained in information technologies. So yeah, I'll be in charge of the website maintenance as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Leo has skills in several development languages and also in R.
Oh, nice.
So develop a routine, so which is great, because we also count on him to produce some routine to ease the creation work. And what you forgot to mention is also Leo will be in charge to add new crops. So perhaps just for your information, through the breeding platform, we will be adding sunflower, most probably, to our list. So this it's not embedded into the Plantium project now, but we may also interact with you for that one.
Very nice.
Great.
Okay. Well, the other person on the call here today is Rosemary. And Rosemary, I'll stop sharing my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should be able to share your screen with us.
Okay.
You gonna do your little presentation? Your presentation? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
I'll share screen here. Okay. Oh, okay.
Great.
Let me check.
Just check.
So this is my old presentation. I haven't done anything. No modification, nothing. Can you?
See it? Yeah.
Can you see? Yeah, you can see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, for Leo, I don't know if I need to introduce myself, but for Leo, I think it is important a little bit, knowing Rosemary, who is she?
Who are you?
Well, Rosemary, I've heard of you a lot, actually.
Oh, but, okay. Blushing. I'm Rosemary, and then I'm trained as a plant pathologist, and then also a little bit molecular biology, so work on, you know, plant pathology a little bit more earlier. And then, but before joining, so I joined here in Summit in 2008 as a postdoc for developing the ontologies. And then at that time, we had this Generation Challenge Program project. And then that's how I came to collaborate with working with Elizabeth and also Pankaj. And Pankaj is the one, Pankaj and his team. So, who trained me how to develop ontology using OVO. And then so that's how we started working on developing ontologies, especially for different crops. So that was our history. And then we started collaborating with plant ontology and then also Grameen trait ontology. And then we started using their identifiers as a cross-reference in our ontology. So at the time, like, you know, 2008, 2020, until 10 and 11, I think we were actively referencing, you know, the using and mapping the terms to plant ontology and then trait ontologies. So, and then after that, yeah, and basically, so I focus mainly on maize and trait, wheat trait ontologies. So for IPP project. And then now I'm working as a data coordinator, germplasm data coordinator that we call. And then for InSemit, so this is one of the most important activities or right now, because we really want to put our data, you know, wheat data, maize data in our databases. Although we have databases, but like not really fully functional, I would say. And then so because of that, so we are using, or we are going rolling out. Yeah. Are you going to ask something? No? No, Leo. Ah, okay.
No, it was not from us.
Ah, okay. So yeah, IPP, so it's a rolling out phase in SEMET right now. So we are doing data migration. We are implementing, you know, trait dictionaries, maize trait dictionaries, as well as wheat trait dictionaries there in the BMS. And then beside that, so since we deal with, you know, field and the nurseries, so all the metadata elements required for those field and nurseries, they are in research crop ontology. So these three ontologies are being used heavily in IBP. And then another thing is like germplasm also. So now we figure out, although we have, you know, the germplasm terms there in the ontology, but we have not really implemented there in the IBP. So when we are importing germplasm into the database, so, you know, so there are some terms missing and then which are already in the germplasm ontology. So probably for the IBP team, so that would be our recommendation as well. Just like, you know, when we talk about the germplasm, it's like passport information. And then we have all these MCPD converted into the ontology, and in, which is in crop ontology. So, but it is not being used in IBP right now. Yeah. Okay. So this is brief introduction. And so in the case of the maize trait ontology, so we have used three different sources.
And the one,
yes?
I was muted, so I wanted to make a comment. Sorry. I don't know if Laurel is aware that the MCPD, it's the multi-crop passport data. You are familiar with that, Laurel? Or?
Could you repeat the name of it, please?
Multi-crop passport.
The multi
multi-crop passport descriptors.
Okay. It's all the information that will describe your sample in the GenBank. So you have the taxonomic identification, the status, several elements, and it's a format that has been used for years by GenBanks. Mm-hmm. It's available on our crop ontology website. But it needs to be updated with the latest version of the MCPD because they have made a slight modification, not major one. There are slight, so perhaps we will have to liaise on that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So it is on the site. I was just looking at your site.
On the crop ontology website, you have sections.
I'll post the link in the chat for everyone. So while we're kind of at a pause here, I just wanted to say hi. Chris Mungle has joined the call. So I'm gonna send this to everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Hi, sorry I'm late.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. You could join us today. So there's the link to the multi-crop, what's it called again? Multi-crop passport descriptors.
Passport, uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay, I'll continue. So about the main straight ontology, so there are three main sources that we use to develop, and then one is IMIS database, which is like used in CIMIT, and then where you can find all the lists, you know, that are measured in different trials and nurseries of all CIMIT stations and in CIMIT research. And then another one is Maze Finder. Actually, all the traits from the IMIS data. So go to Maze Finder. So Maze Finder uses all the traits from the IMIS with additional traits, like, you know, calculated form of those traits, analyzed data. And then so this is kind of like an interface to query phenotypic data. And another one is Maze Descriptor, so which is used by GenBank, Maze GenBank. And then there we can find, you know, the characterization traits related to characterizations, and then also evaluations. So these are included in the Maze trait ontology. And then traits are classified into different classes. So these are like agronomic, morphological, physiological, biotic, abiotic, quality. So these are the different classes of Maze trait ontology. So regarding the methods and skills, like the, you know, the concept of having traits in the ontologies without methods and skills, so it was meaningless for us, because, you know, the breeders, they always use multiple methods and skills to measure the single trait. And then so we wanted to include methods and skills also in the ontology. So that's why we came to, you know, kind of a decision saying that, okay, let's include methods and skills in the ontology. But how? Then we started, like, you know, adding some relationship, like method of and skill of. So in our ontology, we have these two relationship, additional relationship. And then recently we also added, like, you know, the unit, especially me, I'm using unit of also, because in the case of the skills also, we have like different categorical values. And then if there are, you know, categorical scales, so you like 1 to 5, so you can have multiple values for this 1 to 5. So in order to describe this information also, so we added some other relationship also.
So you actually have pre-coordinated the value ranges within the ontology?
Yeah.
Will you show some examples later on?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a screenshot of our field book where, let me see. Yeah. So here you can see in the blue box, so is we have this trial study information. So these are like metadata. So when you design trial or nursery, so at that time, so all the information, like, you know, what kind of and trial name, and then the location, and also, like, you know, the treatment factors. So these are everything documented here. So these information are captured in research, crop research ontology. And then so you can see at the top here, and then also this with this red headline. So these are actually the traits. So these information, so for us, it was very important to capture this information, not only in the field book, but also in the ontology. And then for this, you know, field or trials related information, so we could not really capture in the trait ontology. So we decided to have crop research ontology where you can keep all the information related to your field design, trials, and then the treatment factors. So this is the Maze field book. And then this is, and then after collecting the field data, then, you know, so we have different stages, like, you know, data curation. We go through data curation, data submission, validation, and then data analysis. And then after that, only we upload into the central system, which is Maze Finder, as I mentioned you before. And then here you can see, you know, the all the, at the bottom, you can see the traits. So these are you can see not the full description or the full trade name, but you can see the abbreviation, and then we use abbreviation for during calculation. So for us, it is very important to use the abbreviation also in the database. And then in the ontology, so we have, you know, the column or, yeah, for abbreviation and then also for the synonyms. Okay.
So can I interrupt for 1 minute?
Sure.
So it would normally be considered bad practice to use abbreviations in ontologies because abbreviations are not known widely and the ontologies should be used widely. So the best practice would be to use the full term in the ontology and to include a link to the abbreviation in the relevant comment field or definition field. So are you really using the abbreviations in the ontology, or are you using links to the abbreviations?
Actually, we are using both. I mean, when we say trait, so it has like full name or full trait name. And then, but like for the, when people, they do analysis or analysis part, the software that are used for the analysis, so they use the abbreviation as well. So
okay,
we have
I'm just interested in the preferred label in the ontology. That is a
proper phrase. Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Now, I have a number of other issues that I'd like to raise, but that was a really urgent one, so I won't interrupt you again unless it's urgent, but I would like to go through some issues when you're done.
Okay. So this is, thank you.
Can I add something on that point, Rosemary?
Sure.
Just to say that in the crop ontology, in fact, the abbreviation is an attribute information to the full trait name, which is the concept which is identified uniquely. But as Rosemary mentioned, the abbreviation is not only used during the analysis, but also this is how breeders use the traits. They only use the abbreviation because they know them by heart, more or less, for measuring the traits. So for us, it's very important to understand that when for the application of the ontology into databases or field books, we need to offer the abbreviation aside the concept, the trait name. But the trait name is the entry point in the ontology.
Yeah, right now it's like not only even because of the skills and methods. So we are suffering a lot, you know, the how to combine these trait methods and skills. Of course, we have generated identifiers with the different, you know, relationship. But like when breeders see it, and then if they want to choose, you know, one of the methods or the skills available for the particular trait, and then at that time, so how do they visualize? Like we have in the case of IBP, this system right now there is managed ontology, and then we are saying that okay, so we are going to combine, you know, the trait method and skill as one variate, and then that would, so we are creating even abbreviation for each variate, and then that would make sense for them to select, you know, when they are designing field book or nursery. So it's a little bit complicated, but yeah, we are trying our best to minimize and then, you know, solve the problem there. Yeah,
I think when you reach that level of the use of the ontology for the variate, we are going down the way for pre-aggregating the concept.
So, well, this is Maze Finder. So here you can see, you know, then again, the trait. And then you can see, beside trait, you can see numbers. So that actually this is aspic, and then you can see 1-5. So that means they are using the scale 1-5. And then you can see ear height, centimeter. So in this way, we are using in the current database, but like in the data, so once we have all this information in BMS, so that would be more user-friendly to visualize the information. Yeah. So, and then you can also see here now, probably in the field book, yeah, we have maximum and minimum values also for the each trait. Yeah. Okay.
Rosemary, can you make your screen a little bigger?
I'm sorry. I think this, let me check. Okay.
The slides are not bad, but it's hard to see the detail on those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fine if you, if.
I don't think
if that it's
I
already think maximized, that's fine. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, this is now about the weight trait ontology. So in case of weight trait ontology, we use IVIS-2. This is, which is International Wheat Information System, and then holds all national and international trials and nursery data. And then so all the international partners or the national partners, when they run the international trials, so we keep all those information in IVIS-2. But breeders' data, phenotypic data are not included there. And no query tool available yet for searching wheat data. So that means, like, you know, that we don't have a system like Maize Finder for the wheat. Although IVIS-2 has like multiple, several pieces of tools, but those are accessible only, internal people can only access those tools. So, and then another one is Wheat Descriptor. And then so this is used by Gene Bank, and then where we have traits from characterization, used for characterization and evaluation. So as in Maize Trait Ontology, we so here in Wheat Trait Ontology also we have different classes, and then methods and then scales. So actually this one is now, since we are going to use IBP field book, so I think this one is out of date, I would say, because we are not going to use CIMITI's field book because IBP has already worked or customized for us to use their field book. And then so in this field book also, so all the terms related to design, nurseries, and then trials, so they are going to be in crop research ontology. So we are using crop research ontology for study information, trial information, experimental design information, and then for the traits, we are using wheat trait ontology. So you can see here in the field, so this is wheat field book where you can see, you know, all these study information, and then these are the metadata, and then these goes to go to the trial study information. Yeah. So this is field book for maize, and then you can see in blue, so you can see all these different traits along with scales. So in this way, when we show, you know, the trait abbreviation, actually these are not really you know, the preferred name or trait name, but like, you know, you can see still abbreviation here, and then along with whether STD means the standard scale, and then the percentage. So people or the breeders, they do have choice, or they can choose what scale they want to use for their, you know, trial or the nursery. And then at that time, the STD, so that means they are using standard scale. And then percentage, and then you can see days or centimeters as the units. Yeah. Oh, this one is really very, must be very difficult for you to.
Unfortunately, yeah. We are displaying your slide on our screen through the video projector, so we are able to see, but I'm sure for low.
I'm sorry.
It's very colorful.
Yeah, it's very colorful in the sense that this one was, you know, the working version of the trait dictionary or the trait template. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show you because I think Chris was asking me about the minimum and the maximum values. I think, let me...
So I can actually read it, and I have a question for you.
Ah, okay, thank you. Please.
Okay, but you need to put it back into full screen. I can't read it now.
Yeah. Ah, okay, now I wanted to open the new slide, actually.
Ah. I think the best is you display it again.
Just display it again. It won't take long. I can choose any of these lines at random to ask my question.
Okay.
Okay, so you have at the very top APHD damage. That is called name of trait. Now, is that the name or is it the abbreviation?
No, this is name. Affidamage. Actually, no.
No.
This is affidamage, yeah.
Oh, I see. So then go down to the next one, AWNS.
It's an abbreviation.
Okay, so, yeah.
So the label of that column needs to be changed. Do you agree?
This owns, no, I think the owns is, this is a, no. Let me, oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I think
that might be even better.
This one is better.
Now, these look to me like names. Go to the very bottom. HMW glutenin subunit. Is that a name or an abbreviation? Actually, you have a second column. You have name of trait. And then you have an abbreviated.
Yeah.
Good. So now we have a clear way of addressing this issue. Let's take flower SDS sedimentation. It's about halfway down.
What is
SDS?
In a sense that we can, because if we like, you know, if we write the full form of SDS, then we would be like, you know, it would be really, really long.
Yeah, so I know. So in the world of databases, people like short names.
Yeah.
In the world of ontology, that should not be an issue. So there are some gene ontology names which are 3-4 lines long. So I think that it would be very important for you to understand the reason why we need to have the full names here. The reason has to do with the fact that you're using these ontologies to tag your data so that it can be found by non-experts who work in genomics or in proteomics or in weather or something.
Yeah,
and if you use your secret abbreviations, then people will not find your data. You will not be playing by the rules. You need to understand the importance of what I'm saying now. It's not just a matter of taste. It's a matter of the whole strategy.
I think that is why this this kind of meeting is very important, because you know, if we get feedback, then I really didn't realize that, you know, that could be a problem for, you know, yeah.
Good. I have more questions, but anyway, you keep going. Keep going.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so here. This is now the trait template and then a trait dictionary in the template. So we have here, you know, documented trait and then abbreviation, synonyms whenever possible, and then like descriptions. And then so at the beginning of this IBP project, so we were targeting only a few set of, or like, you know, the frequently used traits to standardize. And then for later on, so when we started recently, when we decided to migrate all the wheat and trait data into the IBP, so with legacy data, because we have already thousands of, you know, data related to all the traits, I mean 400 or 200 traits. So in order to capture those information also, we thought, okay, so it's like having concept of this IBP default list would not be working for us. So now our trait list is like, you know, we have more than 200 or like almost 400 traits in case of wheat, including methods and skills, because we really wanted to keep those legacy data and then annotate properly. So it's increasing a lot. And then it's, we are putting really a lot of efforts in order to, you know, complete the list. And then also annotating or, you know, the data, especially in case of wheat. So we have a lot of traits. And then also because of the, you know, this how do you call drought, and then and also, you know, drought phenotyping, and then physiological traits. So there are so many new traits are coming up. So we included all those, but also trait into ontology. So you can see this one, and then so this is just like, you know, the, when we were doing mapping with our ontology, crop ontology, wheat trait ontology, I would say wheat trait ontology, and then with the database, and then so these are like, you know, so there were so many, we encountered several scales, and then so we said, oh, it's not, or at least for, you know, migrating data, it is not possible for us to say, okay, this is the standard scale, and then we are going to use only this scale. So we had to consider other scales as well. So in this way, so we increased our trait number or the method or the scale number in the ontology or the template, yeah, trait dictionaries. So yeah, so these are actually just the data entry showing, you know, the point and that's, I think, yeah. And then here, sorry?
Rosemary, excuse me. Can I just provide just an information about the Excel form, Excel template you have shown just for the group? The Excel template that was used by Rosemary for the wheat trait dictionary is the Excel template that is used by all crop groups for uploading their list of traits on the crop ontology website. Because in fact, most of the group working on developing the trait list are data managers and breeders. And really, the Excel file is the easiest way to work and sit down with breeders and check the traits with them. So we had the requirement of having that template. And then what we did was to develop an upload function on our site that reads that template from left to right and will create the tree structure of the ontology by reading that Excel file. The limitation of that, of course, is the multiple relationship cannot be represented in such a flat file. So that's why we call that trait dictionaries, because the relationship between the traits are just one-to-one. Mm-hmm. So I wanted just to bring that precision to
yeah,
to
thank you. Yeah, so this is one of the examples for the grain yield. So, you know, you can see multiple scales here. And then so that is why we needed to have, like, you know, different methods in order to associate with, you know, the particular scale. So in the case of, like, especially in the case of like diseases, so whether you are looking at resistance or you are looking at incidence or, you know, the severity incidence, so it depends on then again whether you are doing your experiment in the field, so adult plants, or, you know, you are using seedlings. So it depends on the method and then the condition where you are performing your experiment. So then again, you know, the skills or the method, they could be different. So in this way, we wanted to capture all this information. And then so because of that region, so we have one trait, but, like, you know, multiple methods and then multiple conditions, whether it's adult plant or seedling, and then you have multiple scales also in order to measure the disease or, you know, scoring the diseases. So this is one of the, like, complicated situation in our condition. Like, so breeders, they say that, well, for the breeders, so we really don't care. I mean, for us, it's like just whether there is incidence or no. But, like, for pathologists, but then they want to go in detail and then they want to study and then they want to use different scales. So we had to include all this information also. So it was challenging and then still challenging, I would say. Yeah. So, yeah, and this is the, you know, real data sets that we get from breeders, and then it is very difficult to embed this information, upload this information without mapping or correct mapping into the database, because first thing is like, you know, the all the data, so they have phenotypic data, so their data, so they in their laptop or the computer, and then not in the database. So since they are using the template just only for designing their trials and nurseries, not for like personal or, you know, other research, so we have like, you know, diverse or different kinds of data sets, and then we are now in the stage of like, you know, going through each data set and then finding out how to map with correct ontology terms, and then how to put and then upload the them or these data into the database. So this is going to be very challenging here.
Can you just explain what some of the values are here?
Well, this one is like, you know, this one is Rust. Here you can see in the Rust team. So they are using. Oh, sorry. So many red buttons in the. Okay. Oh, can you see my cursor here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Okay. So this is, you know, so they are looking at like different severity of different diseases. Actually, here only the stem rust. And then they have like same for leaf rust, and then another stripe rust somewhere. And then also here, grain color. And then
the values okay. under, so the different stem rust columns are this, they're measuring the same thing at different times. And then the numbers there, the 20 MSS, 30S.
This is, you know, 30 MSS. This is like, you know, that they use, actually, this is the combination of two scales. So it's like, you know, sorry. This is 30 means, you know, the percentage, actually, it defines percentage. And then they are looking at the same time. So they are looking at the severity also. So MSS, like moderately susceptible. They define in moderately susceptible, and then or susceptible and susceptible. I think so. And then it's like this one is 30 is then again, you know, the how the disease is occurred, like, you know, this is in percentage. And then actually there are two scales combined together. And then so in ontology, what we are trying to do is like, you know, we are separating these two units into two different scales. And then we are going to put into the different two different columns so that, you know, they can, when we do analysis also, we don't need to separate them.
So, right. And so your ontology has a kind of core class of stem rust.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And stem rust, and then it's like, and then we have method, like, you know, the disease, whether you are looking at incidence, so which is percentage. So if you are looking at severity, and then, you know, the you have moderately resistance, you know, so severity label.
So you have a kind of like an attribute class for stem rust, and you have kind of value classes for the different types of severity.
Yeah.
Of stem rust. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can show you later on after this. Yeah, the real file, so that it would be a little bit clear for you. And then this APR is then adult plant resistance. You know, so there are different information they are putting together.
Okay.
And then so we are trying to separate them and then putting these attributes or information in different columns in the ontology. Yeah.
And what does the R 5% mean in this column? Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is resistance.
Right.
And 5% is like their distribution, just the distribution of the disease symptoms there in the plant.
So this is kind of under H2 there, that's defining the ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Rosemary, you just said we're putting these into different columns in the ontology.
Columns.
Did you really mean that?
I would say not ontology, but I would say dictionary. Sorry, because it's in Excel, and then as for in ontology, so we have different identifiers.
Okay, but I don't see a dictionary here. I see a database.
Yeah, this one is, I'm showing just the database. Yeah, okay, no, this is an Excel file from the scientist.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then this one, well, I don't think that I would talk about this research data management right now.
Okay,
because,
okay, yeah.
So this is actually the concept of, like, you know, the, when we have data and then data into the database, and then how we would share our metadata, at least with the collaborators and then the public, other people. And then this is like, you know, we were using knowledge base as a source for, like, documenting all the metadata associated with the research. But right now we are working on Dataverse. So because scientists are more like, for research, documenting the metadata related to research is, they say that, okay, Dataverse is more advanced. And then so that's why we are trying to implement the Dataverse. And then this one is, okay, I don't think that's okay. So I think this one is better to give you information about the summit right now. So in the data management team, so we are, right now we have two data coordinators for Germplasm. Kate Reher, so she is mainly focusing on maize, and then maize data management, putting all the data into the database, probably in IBB Fieldbook, and then it's like maize genotyping data. So in BMS, we have this GDMS system where we can put our low density marker data, especially not like, you know, the GBS data, so it's high density, so it doesn't go there. So only low density marker data, so we are going to put in GDMS, which is part of BMS. And then so Kevin, so who is our director, and Richard, so Richard Fu, so he is head of knowledge management, and then he is co-chair of RDA, right? And then so, right, L'Oreal?
Sorry.
No, I was talking about Richard.
Oh, Richard,
yeah, so
yes. Richard,
yeah. So we are involved in with data interoperability, yes, working group as well. And then Laura and I, we are in the team and then working together. And we recently performed one survey, yeah, regarding ontology as well. And then we have informatics team also working together, and then biometrics team also. Wow, well, so great. This is all about CIMET. And then if you are interested, I can just show you the dictionary.
Yes, let's look at the wheat one.
Wheat one, okay.
I actually posted a link in, actually I posted the link to the maize one, but I can post the link to the wheat one too, because I've been looking at it.
Because wheat has more example. In case of maize, yeah, we have almost standardized, you know, scales. And then because in the case of diseases also, they use... Your screen sharing is paused.
Do you want me to show it, Rosemary?
Yeah, share a new... No.
Is it...
is how it, do you... Okay, yeah.
You cannot exit your presentation, Rosemary?
Is it lock up?
Yeah. How do I...
Let me see. Yeah, mine seems kind of... Let me see. Sure. Maybe if I share mine, it'll just kick you out.
Okay.
Let's try this. Okay. Can everyone see that? We may be having a bandwidth issue.
You have to exit your full screen mode.
You guys can't see the screen?
Yes.
It's a nice picture, though.
Yeah.
Oh, which picture? The field?
It's a picture of fields.
Is that better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have two monitors, so it's not sure which one it was on. Now, can you see the ontology or the trait dictionary?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So you just tell me where you want to go.
Could you please go to StemRust?
So, can I search?
You can search. Yeah, yeah.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary?
Yes.
On the website, it's not the Excel file you uploaded, it's the global file you are maintaining. So this
because must be the same because, okay, StreamRust, I'm not sure if there are, okay, could you please click?
So there's different Rust.
Could you click, the method.
Okay, this one.
Below. The Rust field response
scale. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. So,
can so I make this bigger?
Yeah.
What are the relationships in the ontology? Oh, I see. I kind of see them a bit on the left, but on the right.
It's like
you can move this around.
So we have a Rust field response scoring is a kind of like method of, you know, the Rust response. And then, so for the scale, so we have used the relationship scale off. And then for the values of cat, so this is categorical value 1 to 8. And then we describe as like, you know, 1, so which is non-visible infection, it is value of the scale.
Okay, so stem rust response is a type of rust.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the response isn't really, so the rust is the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the response to the disease is a different kind of thing?
Well, when you look at this stem rust, so you whether like, you know, you are looking at response or you are looking at, you know, incidence. So here only one is there, but in Excel, so in my Excel file, which I have many other methods. So one of the method is like a stem rust response is... Yeah, so whether you are looking at response or incidence or, you know, the severity, depending on that, so we have used the...
So would you put susceptibility to rust under rust as well?
Sorry?
Let's just say you had a trait that was susceptibility to rust.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
Is a child of rust as well?
Susceptibility, yes, could be.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to map this to the TO, I think we wouldn't call that grouping class rust. We would call it just rust-related response or something like
that.
Right. And then we would have a link to the disease ontology that says rust-related trait, some kind of vague relation like related to rust.
Right. And we can have the in the disease ontology, we have the pathogens. So you could link it to your specific pathogen of interest there, or your class of pathogens.
Yeah.
When you say link, you are mentioning a cross-reference?
For the time being, yes. We would build that with a cross-reference until we have more capability to tie these together.
I mean, ultimately, we want to move away from cross-references and have a single ontology, but the first thing would be just to get our kind of design patterns and relationships correct.
I had one question about the scales.
Mm-hmm.
It just from looking at these, it looks to me like within this ontology or this dictionary,
mm-hmm.
Let me just find a scale. So this scale, I was looking at the more general scale on the other one where you had percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scale, right?
Yeah.
And are those, so the percentage in all your different ontologies each have a different ID, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it'd be, ideally, it would be nice if you had all your scales together in one ontology and use that same term throughout.
Are the scales not different? Do they not vary a lot depending on the type of trait?
Well, so what I'm talking about is this, you know, like it just had percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you can calculate percentage many, many different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the basic idea, I was just kind of trying to get an idea how this is all put together. And
I mean, you would certainly reuse classes like moderately susceptible and moderately susceptible.
Yeah. So that's something to kind of think about. Rather than creating a term percentage in each and every one of those, you know, we might look at the crop research ontology and maybe those scales could be integrated there.
Mm-hmm.
and then you could reference that term.
So at the moment is like, let's look at the first one. Number one, no visible infection. Is that used in any other? Is that COID here? Is that specific to this hierarchy, or is it used elsewhere?
It's specific. Can I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. The fact that the methods and units are not decomposed was for a matter of practical use, because breeders are used to have their scale in one with one name, combining the percentage. The scales are often, particularly for disease, very much crop and pathogen related. So it's become very difficult to extract that in a separate ontology. However, we are still discussing that point, and I was, in fact, I'm hoping that Plantium will help us bringing some answers to that. And the other thing is, last year, Marie-Angélique made already a schema for creating at least three namespaces, perhaps four. So the traits are in one namespace, the method is in another one, and the scale in a third one. And we discussed that with Lucas Miller already, and we couldn't implement it yet on the website, but normally we should even create separated namespaces.
Yeah.
So identifiers would be in different namespaces.
Right, and you wouldn't have to display that to your breeders. I mean, they don't have to really see what's going on in the background.
No, they don't care about all that.
Right, right.
Organizing,
they just kind of know what we show them.
Yeah. Because in the end, when I talked to Lucas, for example, who is developing the cassava database, he would like to see those three namespaces existing, but in the end, he's using a combination of trait method scale to annotate a variable, a data, a measurement. So for him, it's more for us to get organized at that level. But on the end user side, they don't.
Right.
Need to
right.
So I mean, to me, it's less important. I don't really care what your IDs look like. It's the logic that's important.
Yeah. Exactly.
Before you move on, just one other comment on that last one, or this one indeed. The part of relationship isn't, this is, seems like a really trivial minor point, but just one tiny thing that could go towards better interoperability is environmental factors aren't part of ontologies. Environmental factors are part of the world. So I think you should, if you renamed the root class something like crop trait, or, well, it's a mixture of things, but you don't even need a root class here. But either way, the relationship between these different things isn't really a part of relationship.
The crop research ontology was developed after what there was in ICIS, the crop information system,
yeah.
And Marie extracted that. But we already have planned to split that into, on one hand, the environmental variables, and the other one, the experimental variables. But we didn't do that yet.
Yes, but yeah. We see the part of relation. That's, we use part of, you mean kind of buffer, part of.
We should clean.
So, can I say my piece now?
Sure, Barry. Yeah, we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour. So.
I know, but
go ahead.
First of all, I think it would be a good idea if I would give an hour-long introduction to ontology building, as we've learned it from working within the gene ontology community, the OBO Foundry community, over the last now more
great.
Than 10 years.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Just for the people who are interested in actually building these things, because you're facing exactly the same problems that other people have faced. You've even solved these problems in a way that other people have solved them, but then those other people have sometimes found that those solutions don't work. And Chris pointed to one trivial example. I think that's a very important example. Yeah. Isa and part of should always mean the same thing. And you're using those terms to mean different things in different places. So I think it would actually save you time if I gave a summary of the best practices. Pointing to your example. So I could take any of these CO examples and just go through step by step, showing how other people address the same problem and how I think you should do it. And then I don't need to give my spiel now.
Yeah. Can I just have a remark on that?
Yeah.
I think it would be very useful. And just to explain that in the past, in 2013, we had a review of through a paper of the ontology, and of course it was, the feedback was that semantically some of the relationship were not relevant at all, and the fact is we are so that's what led us to decide to convert our ontology into scores, then simplify the.
Yeah, that people often choose that.
Yeah, because we are not ontology engineers, and then some of the people have to create semantic relationships between concepts, and they don't really handle that very well because we were our team is composed by data managers and readers. So what we did was to simplify that way for now, so the relationship would be less semantically connected, I would say.
I think that we can do better than SCoS without making things more complicated. I think that what we can do, we did already with the plant ontology. And I think the people who know the plant ontology as it is now and compare it with the plant ontology as it was 4 or 5 years ago will say that it is now better. And we didn't add any complications. On the contrary, we just did it cleanly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I would like to go through and show how I think you can do this more cleanly. And it will actually save you time because you're recreating for every single crop a number of probably hundreds of terms with new IDs, which is not good practice. You don't want to recreate percent with a new ID every time it's percent relating to some specific crop. Right. That's just wasting your time. So I think what we should do is to try and schedule such a session. And we can do that by email, so I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, I think those are great suggestions, Barry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Barry, since you joined the call just after we had done the introductions, maybe both you and Chris, before we hang up, could just introduce yourselves, because Leo is here and he hasn't been introduced to the rest of us, and also Rosemary. So maybe just briefly a couple sentences from each of you on who you are and what your role is.
So I'll start. I'm Barry Smith. I used to be a philosopher. I now just do ontology, and my primary role is to try and corral people into building ontologies in such a way that they work well together. And as of last week, I'm doing this also for the United Nations. So,
yeah.
Which will include actually some of the plant ontology work.
Mm-hmm. And Chris?
Yeah, so I guess I have two roles in the project. One is our group developed the Amigo ontology annotation browser, which is primarily used for the gene ontology, but it's quite generic. So we're going to be using that for Plantium. The original PAO project used Amigo 1, but Amigo 2 has a lot of kind of benefits just for being able to be able to find your kind of like data, whether it's kind of gene expression data or trait data, kind of like very quickly using faceted browsing. So that's one aspect. And the other aspect is, along with Barry, I assist in the development of a number of OBO library ontologies and help kind of like promote sharing and reuse between those ontologies by using a kind of like a set of standard methods. But I'm more on the kind of like the technical end. So I'll be helping just get people set up with Protégé or with OboEdit if that's what they prefer, figuring out the exact way in which we're going to kind of like link together and reuse those ontologies and figure out the kind of like the pipeline for doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, great. And you're down in Berkeley, California.
Yes.
Yes. Too far from you. Yes. And Barry is out in Buffalo, New York. So I wanted to thank everybody for coming today. It's been great. I think we got lots of good discussion going and lots of things to talk about. And Rosemary, I really appreciate your presentation and all the hope we didn't put you on the hot seat too much. But it's all, you know, it's all meant as being helpful and increasing the interoperability. Yeah. And so maybe we should just talk briefly about when we can meet again. Because I know, Elizabeth, you have travel coming up that you're going to be on duty.
Next 3 weeks.
Yeah. We are not planning to have an ontology, an official like group ontology workshop meeting this coming Tuesday. We try to do these every week. Mm-hmm. We are going to have a meeting on Tuesday afternoon next week with Chris and with our system admin. So if anyone, you know, wants to take part in that, we're going to be working on the GitHub repository. But it's probably, I don't know if it's, it probably would make more sense to do the, Barry, when do you think we could do the ontology introduction? Do you want to wait and do that when the new people come on board? Or
I think it should be done fairly soon, but I leave that to you to make the decision.
Yeah, okay.
I can do it more or less anytime.
So, Elizabeth, the next time that you can meet with us would be the first week of April? Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe we should leave it. Let's not plan to have a general meeting next Tuesday, but and we'll set it up over email. I'll send you out. We'll talk about it. But you're going to be gone until like the week of the 31st, right? Elizabeth, yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I can.